Morning. It's good to be able to come together this morning to worship the Lord, and I appreciate your presence. As has been mentioned, we have a number who are out of town traveling, and we need to keep them in mind, and we appreciate you taking their spot this morning and filling in their seat and being with us, and we're grateful for that. If you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 17, in just a moment we're going to look at a story there in the life of Christ for our admonition with Thanksgiving just around the corner. That is, the idea of thanking the Lord is on our minds, and I wanted us to consider that. I appreciate the song that Christian led, and that is a newer song to me, and it has a great sentiment, and I appreciate that, and we need to be thanking Jesus for all that He has done. And we'll look at this morning for our admonition and encouragement. Just this past October, I saw a news event that was quite troubling. A group of people, they're called Antifa. They dress up in black, and they cover their faces, and they have sort of a mob mentality. The particular news story that I saw, they were in a town, and they were throwing rocks inside storefront buildings and burning things and overturning cars and just being violent. And then a few weeks went by, and last week I saw where they had organized a particular, rally, you might say, or march or protest up in the Northeast. And this lady, she was a small business owner, trying to support herself and her family, trying to live the American dream. And she had a storefront in this little small town up in the Northeast that was on the end of an old building. And so her store had this outside brick wall that was on the street. And it was just a big brick wall. It's an old building. And she decided that she would paint a large American flag on the side of that building just to show her patriotism and support. Well, some of these Antifa people came along one day and threw paint all over it and just disfigured it. They're anti-government, they're anti-whatever they don't want, and so they did that. Well, in the course of the story, the individuals that were reporting on this had done some investigation into these people who dress up like this and do this, and they found that the majority of them are middle class, highly college educated, and have very good jobs. You would think that people like that would be just thugs, for example. They would just be the lowest of the low, and they're just out causing mayhem. But they're college educated, have very good jobs, came from very good families. And when I heard that, I thought this. You know, one of their biggest problems is they're just unthankful people. They live in a nation that has been handed to them by people like veterans, hardworking parents, various other kinds of individuals, and they're going around in a very selfish way, just defaming things, destroying things in the very nation that they live in. And then they get up the next day and they go to work, and they live in their, they drive their fancy car, they live in their nice house that America gave them, on the streets that America gave them, and the car that America gave, and then they turn right around and they do this. There's a lot of problems with those individuals, but one that came to my mind this morning by way of introduction is that they're ungrateful and they're unthankful. They live in a land where men and women died for that flag, and they're just throwing paint all over it. Brethren, we need the importance of gratitude in our life and thankfulness in our life. And that's what I want to talk about this morning with the question that Jesus raises, where are the nine? We're going to see this morning that the nine are in groups like I just described to you. The nine are in our schools. The nine are in churches. The nine are in our society. They're in homes. They're in marriages. And it's causing nothing but problems. We need to develop an attitude of gratitude. And I hope this morning we can be encouraged to do that as we look at this particular story. Thanksgiving is not just a holiday. It's not just something that we need to think about once a year. It's a daily attitude of living that affects every aspect of who we are, starting with becoming a Christian and living faithfully thereafter. You know, when you look at the subject of Thanksgiving in the New Testament, you find that it's a command. There are several places like Ephesians 5:20 and these other passages where Paul will say, be thankful or give thanks. It's in a command form. And we need to be thankful because it's commanded, but I hope that we can grow from doing something not just because it's commanded, but because we want to. It's embedded in us to do that. It reminds me of when we're small and mom and dad say to us, now say thank you. And we do it because they tell us to do it. But when we get older, we do it because we want to do it. And so we are commanded. That's true. We're commanded to give thanks. But I hope that we can get to the point where it's more than just doing it because we have to. We're doing it because we see a good reason for it. In Psalm 92 and verse 1 and 2, the scripture reading that we had this morning, the text says, it is good to give thanks unto the Lord. What good does it do us? See, it's not just a command. It'll do us good. There's a benefit for us. And I want us to see what that is this morning. Let us always get up each day and be grateful. And we're going to see later in the lesson how that will drive us even to just being a faithful Christian. It's at the root of all of who we need to be. It's a shame that people get up and they'll go out and they'll deface public property and they'll make mayhem and wreck things that have been given to them by hard-working people. And in the cases of our veterans and things like that, folks who have died for our freedoms, to just casually get up and destroy that is a shame. But it may not be that drastic. We may not dress up in black and throw rocks at a window and hurt people. We may not do that, but it might just be simple ingratitude that keeps us from living the way we need to live in God's sight. We're commanded to be thankful, but we're going to see that it's more than just that. There is good that will help us. And to do that, I would like for us to look this morning at Luke chapter 17 and the story of the healing of the 10 lepers. And Jesus' question, and I love how that Jesus asks questions that are very instructive and important. And this question, where are the nine? That's the question we want to answer this morning. But read with me Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. And what we're going to find here is that we're going to find some lepers who were quick to ask for help. Give me, give me, give me. But they were not so quick to say thank you. And we're going to see this morning how common ingratitude really is. Maybe at your work, where you're working hard to do something, to produce something, to help someone. We have school teachers and others here. And you get up and you work hard. And it would be nice to get just a simple thank you. But often you don't get that, because of the selfish world that we live in and how common it really is. We're going to talk this morning about nine who were ungrateful. That's 90% out of these 10. That's 90%. That's a lot of people. How common ingratitude really is, even in Jesus' day and today. And we're going to see that the ungrateful ones did not receive the greater blessing. Everyone got healed of their leprosy, all 10 of them. But only one, the grateful one, got the greater blessing of your faith has made you whole. We need to separate ourselves from that 90% of ingratitude that is around us and be the one who is thankful. And we'll see this morning what that will do for us. Let's read the text, Luke 17, beginning in verse 11. It came to pass, as they were on the way to Jerusalem, that he was passing along the borders of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go and show yourself unto the priests." This is according to Leviticus chapter 13 and 14. They were standing afar off, verse 12, because of Leviticus 13. They were to be separate from the rest because of their contagion, their disease. But Moses said in Leviticus that when you're cleansed, you go show that to the priest where you can be reinstated with the people. And so we come in verse 14, "Go and show yourself to the priest," Leviticus 14. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorifying God, and he fell upon his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were not the 10 cleansed?" And here's the question for this morning, "But where are the 9? Were there none found that returned to give glory to God save this stranger?" And he said unto him, "Arise and go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole," or as some versions say, "hath saved thee." He got the greater blessing. Verse 16, he was a Samaritan. You know, it's interesting in the Gospels, and even today, that there are individuals whom we would say, well, they're not going to do what is right, and they're the very ones that do what is right. It's interesting in the Gospels how the Samaritan is singled out as the one who's doing what he's supposed to do, or she, and not the Jew. I think of John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman. She believes in Christ and brings others to Christ. I think about Luke chapter 10, the Good Samaritan. And then I think about this Samaritan. You see, sometimes they're the very ones who are doing what God wants them to do. And so let's learn from this individual this morning. Where are the 9? When you look at this particular individual, first of all, you find that he had a vision and he had a view of life where he was going to stop and consider the ramification and the full situation. In Luke chapter 17, we find that when he saw that he was healed, let's start in verse 15 and go down through these verses again. He saw that he was healed. Everybody saw that they were healed. As they're walking along the way, just look, imagine these men looking down at their skin. "My skin has gotten better. I don't have the spots and the white hair and all of the problems. My flesh is not eroding." And they all saw that they were cleansed, but he saw with another eye. He saw with the eye of consideration that someone has done something nice for me. He saw the same thing that everybody else saw as far as their skin was concerned, but he saw more when he saw that he was healed. The other men saw that they know how to look at their skin. But he saw with the eye of consideration as to what Jesus has done for me. We've got to learn to see things better than just the world around us sees things. And then the text says that when he saw that he was healed, he turned back. Here's the matter of appreciation. They just go on their way. He turns back. "I want to come back to Jesus. I appreciate this man, and I'm going to go back and say something to him." Have you ever turned around and gone back to thank somebody? Have you ever turned around and gone back into the store? Have you ever turned around and gone back into the house? Have you ever turned around and gone back to the coworker? Because you've thought about something and you want to do better than the average person around you? So we go from consideration to appreciation. And that's what we're losing in our country, in our world. And we'll see why later. But to turn around and come back and say something, not just think it, but to say it and show it, And so we see his appreciation. And then the text says that when he came back, he turned back and with a loud voice glorifying God. What's interesting is he's a Samaritan. He's the one that is not supposed to know as much about God as the Jew. You know, we're the all-knowing ones, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and we know everything. This dirty Samaritan over here that we don't deal with, he wouldn't know anything. And he's the very one that is glorifying God, his reverence and respect. We also see from the text that he fell upon his face. This is a showing of humility. He fell upon his face at his feet. This man is humble. This man is grateful. This man realizes that he has gotten something that he would not have been able to get before on his own. You don't just heal yourself of leprosy. So his humility. And then we find that he gives thanks. Giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And it was this very thing, the consideration, the appreciation, the turning back, the humility, the gratitude, where he exercises his faith and he's the one that gets the extra blessing. Brethren, this morning, Thanksgiving is not just once a year, it's every day. And let's see what Thanksgiving will do for us. The psalmist says it is good to give thanks to the Lord. There's some goodness there. There's some blessing, some benefit. Let's see what that is by looking at some New Testament passages this morning. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7. First of all, thankfulness will make us more faithful to God. We find here that thankfulness is tied to faithfulness. Somebody says, why don't I attend like I should? Why don't I obey the gospel? And then why don't I attend like I should? And why don't I follow God's word like I should? And why is somebody quitting the church and things like that? Some of it has to do with a lack of thankfulness. Paul writes in Colossians 2 and verse 6, as therefore we received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. This is our daily faithfulness, rooted and builded up in Him and established in your faith. Here's a strong, faithful Christian, even as you were taught. It comes from teaching, not feelings. And then abounding in thanksgiving. That's what tops it off. The Christian that once attended but is not now. They're not thankful for the blood of Christ on the cross. They're not thankful for the revealing of the Word of God through the Holy Spirit and the sacrifices that men had to make to reveal the Word of God. First of all, in the apostles themselves, and then later those who, hundreds of years later, when they translated the Scripture into our language, William Tyndale and others. We just pick up a Bible. But those men died to translate Scripture. We're faithful when we're thankful. We're not so faithful when we're unthankful. We don't think about the blood of Christ anymore. And in Hebrews chapter 10, with regard to attendance, for example, somebody says, well, why is somebody not attending like they should? Well, we find that they're forsaking the assembling. But notice how it's tied into the blood of Christ just a few verses later. How much sore punishment do you think who have trodden underfoot the blood of the covenant? Verse 29. So these folks in verse 24 and 25, who've made a custom of forsaking the assembling. Verse 26, they're sinning willfully. And verse 29, they have considered the blood of the covenant by which they were sanctified an unholy thing. They're not thankful anymore for that blood of Jesus. Thankful people tend to be more faithful people. And sometimes we look for answers with regard to unfaithfulness in attendance. And, well, I don't read my Bible like I should, and I don't pray as I should, and I don't attend as I should, and I don't talk with others like I should. what's the answer? And there are different answers, but let's look at the one this morning. Look at thankfulness. Getting that back in our life will help us to be faithful. What about the matter of just becoming a Christian? Just obeying the gospel. I need to be baptized into Christ, and I don't do that. I've heard many times what I need to do. There have been many opportunities to do that, but I don't do that. One thing to think about would be thankfulness. If I'm truly thankful for what Jesus did on the cross for me, I would immediately go to that water. I would say, like the Ethiopian eunuch, here is water. What doth hinder me? Nothing's going to stand in my way. Thankfulness. We talk about our daily Bible reading. That should be easy to do. Just because I'm so thankful that God speaks to me. When somebody doesn't speak to me, I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know what they want me to do. I've got to have some communication. God is not up in heaven just quiet. He speaks to me, and I'm so thankful for that. I want to hear what He says, and I want to read my Bible every day. Thankfulness makes me faithful. And in my prayer life, I'm so thankful that God lets me talk to Him. You ever been in a situation where somebody says, don't talk to me? God's not like that. God says, talk to me. It's called prayer. And He wants to speak to me. He wants me to speak to Him. And because I'm thankful for all of that, I'm faithful in my prayer life, my reading of Scripture, my attendance here, and my worship, and my personal life. If you look at Colossians 2 and verse 7, Paul talks about rooted. This is somebody who is going through life and they're not being shaken by the temptations of the devil. And they're just a stalwart Christian. There might be health problems. There might be marriage problems. There might be economic problems. There might be error, just different kinds of things that assault us from the outside. And I'm just going to be a faithful Christian. Why? Because I'm a thankful Christian. And I'm not going to give up on that. Thankfulness is tied to faithfulness. Thankfulness will also make me a good steward of what God gives me. Do you know this group that I was describing earlier? Do you know why, in part, they find it very easy to go deface things? They didn't have to work for it. And when we work hard and we appreciate what we have, we take care of what we have. My parents used to do that with us as we were growing up. Dad especially would say, I worked hard for that. You take care of that. You worked hard for that. Take care of that. Don't just get something and leave it out in the yard and let it rust. Don't just take something and abuse it. Accidents happen, of course. Accidents are one thing. But just purposely abusing things and misusing things, that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to take care of what God gives us. And being thankful will help us to do that. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to talk about the stewardship of just being a Christian. We do need to take care of the physical things around our house and our car and just different things like that. But I want to look at a spiritual principle here, our service to Christ, 1 Corinthians 15. Paul was so thankful that Christ saved him that his attitude was, I'm going to use my service to Christ in the best way that I can. I'm going to use my body and my mind and my time and my talents in the Lord's service because I'm so thankful that He saved me. Thankfulness helps us with our stewardship, meaning taking care of what God gives us. Verse 10, but by the grace of God I am what I am. Paul was thankful. And in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 12, he says, I am thankful to Christ. Here he says, I am what I am by the grace of God, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but underscore this in your Bible. I labored more abundantly than they all. Why? Because Jesus saved me, and I'm so thankful for that. 1 Timothy 1:12, I'm thankful to Jesus. He wanted to abound and be the best Christian he could be. Thankfulness helps us in our stewardship. When somebody gives us a birthday present or a Christmas present or anniversary present, any kind of present, there's one of two kinds of people out there. There's the person who takes it and grabs it, and then in time abuses it because he's not thankful for it. And then the person who really cherishes it and takes care of it. Dad used to say, take care of your tools. Don't leave them out and let them rust. Take care of your tools. Take care of your house. Take care of your car. Take care of your property. Take care of your furniture. Hundreds of things. Just take care of it because we're great. We've worked hard for it. We're thankful for it. Not everybody has those things. So take care of it. Thankfulness actually produces good stewardship. And with regard to being a Christian, we find ourselves laboring more abundantly, being the best Christian and the most faithful Christian that we can be. We're going to take care of our body and our mind and our time and our talents, and we're going to use it for the Lord's service, because otherwise we would not be what we are. We are what we are by the grace of God. It makes us better stewards. You know, thankfulness also works into being pure. Purity. Thinking and saying and doing pure things. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. We live in a very immoral world. And the specific context here is language. It could be sexual immorality. It could be things involving alcohol and drugs. It could be things involving fornication, homosexuality, abortion, a number of moral issues. We live in a very immoral world, but being thankful to God separates us from that kind of thing, where we want to think and talk and act in a very pure way. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good unto edifying, as the need may be, that it may give grace to them that hear. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and railing be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving each other, even as God also in Christ forgave you. Be therefore imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, even as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for you, or for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for an odor of a sweet smell. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as becometh saints, nor filthiness, nor foolish talking or jesting, which are not befitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know of a surety, that no fornicator, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God and Christ. Isn't it interesting, if you back up to we could go back to verse 28, don't steal, that type of thing, being angry, verse 26. Right in the middle of all of this discussion about stay away from worldly kinds of things, right in the very middle of it, look at verse 32. God also in Christ forgave you. And then look at chapter 5 and verse 2, Christ loved you. He forgave you, He loved you, and that's right in the midst of all of this discussion about stay away from worldly things. If we're thankful for that we've been forgiven and that we've been loved, we're going to stay away from those things. And he talks about, for example, in verse 4, we're not going to say things we shouldn't say, but we're going to give thanks. I believe that there's a point to be made there. That when we understand verse 32, that God has forgiven us, and chapter 5 and verse 2, that He loves us, and we're so thankful for that, we're going to stay away from the worldly things that are around us. Sometimes we teach that a different way. We teach it that these are bad things and just stay away from it, and we should. But why? Because we've been forgiven and Christ loves us, we're so thankful for that. And if He wants us to stay away from that, I'll stay away from that. I'm thankful to Him and I'll do what He wants me to do. It makes us a more pure person, being thankful. Being thankful gives us a positive attitude. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. It's easy to murmur and complain. It's easy to be down about this or that. But in Philippians chapter 4, we find that thankfulness is tied to a positive attitude. And if we're not careful, somebody says, well, you know, murmuring and complaining, that's just sort of a personality trait that's kind of negative. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that's one thing that kept the Israelites out of Canaan. And so God takes that very seriously. But look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your forbearance be made known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall guard your hearts and your thoughts. This thankful person has joy, verse 4. They have patience, verse 5. They pray all the time. They have peace. That's the kind of person we want to be around, isn't it? But they're thankful. And they're content. Paul says, I've learned to be content, a few verses later in verse 11. The unthankful person, no matter what you give them, there's a problem with it. No matter how you try to make it better, well, there's a problem with that. Well, then let me give you this. Well, then there's a problem with that. Let us learn and teach our children to say thank you and to be content and to be appreciative. And thankfulness just makes us a more positive person to be around. It will do us good. It'll make us attractive. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. We see a lot in our society today about being attractive. Music, movies, commercials especially. This is an attractive person, and they're talking about physical looks. This is what's going to attract people to you. This is how you need to look. But spiritually speaking, as a Christian, when we put on Christ, we attract people to us. Look at verse 12. Well, we'll back up to verse 10. Colossians 3 and verse 10. Put on the new man. That's being a Christian. That is being renewed unto knowledge after the image of him that created him. Look at verse 12. Put on as God's elect, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion and kindness and lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another and forgiving each other. If any man have a complaint against any, even as the Lord forgave you, so also do you. And above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be ye thankful. Notice how thankfulness is tied in with putting on these attributes that are attractive. It's not about physical looks. It's about being a faithful Christian. And when we put these things on, we attract people to us. And thankfulness is at that list there at the very end. And then if you'll come on down with me to verse 17, it also has to do with following God's word. And whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. You know, sometimes Bible authority is tied to, you know, commands, examples, and necessary inference, and the need for Bible authority. And we need that. That is all over the Scripture. But look at verse 17. What is one of the incentives for that? Doing all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God. We're thankful to God for what He's done for us, and we want to follow His authority. Thankfulness is tied with Bible authority. You know, it's interesting, in days gone by, there are men that will stand up in churches of Christ today. They will stand in the pulpits and in the church buildings that have been handed to them by previous generations, and they will stand there and they will say and do and encourage things that don't have Bible authority. They will tear down
the church of the past. They will tear down the way it used to be and that type of thing. I'm talking about progressive churches of Christ. They're not thankful. They're standing in a pulpit that was handed to them by brethren of 50 years ago while they're belittling the brethren of 50 years ago. I've heard remarks from some, disparaging remarks, where they will put down, well, that was the church of my parents, or that was the church of my grandparents, and they're standing in a building that was built by the parents and the grandparents. My point is, young people, listen. Each generation that goes by, it's easy for us to disparage and put down the things of the past. But those folks worked hard to give that to us. And we need to be thankful for that. But you'll find that in the church today. I've heard comments where folks are laughing about instrumental music. They're laughing about women preachers. They're joking and laughing about baptism for the remission of sins and this and that. And they're standing doing that in buildings that were where men and women sacrificed to do things by Bible authority. And so verse 17, being thankful keeps us doing things that are authorized. Not caring and ingratitude, we find ourselves moving beyond the pattern of God's Word. What will thankfulness do for us? Thankfulness will also make us prayerful. Colossians chapter 4, come down a few verses into the next chapter, verse 2. Continuing steadfastly in prayer, watching therein with thanksgiving. Have you ever been in a situation where you weren't watching? I've been driving before and I wasn't watching carefully and maybe a deer jumps out or something. You got to be watchful. You got to be vigilant. And some brethren, we're not watching spiritually, and so the devil comes and takes us away. What's the solution to that? Verse 2. Prayer, but prayer with watching with thanksgiving, or watching with thanksgiving therein. It makes us more watchful. It makes us more vigilant to be thankful. Lord, I don't want to lose what you've given me. I'm thankful for that. So I'm going to be vigilant. I'm not going to let the devil come in to my marriage or my family or my work or my personal life and take something away. I'm so thankful for what you've given me. So it makes us vigilant in our prayers. We need to be like this Samaritan who came back and gave thanks. And then last of all, turn with me to Revelation chapter 4 and verse 9. It makes us reverent and respectful to God. We're so thankful for what He has done that we are reverent and respectful. Thanksgiving is tied to honor here in the book of Revelation. And one day, having lived faithfully, hopefully we can be around this beautiful heavenly scene where these heavenly beings are around the throne praising God. And notice what we find in Revelation 4:9, one of several passages in Revelation like this. And when the living creature shall give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sitteth on the throne, to Him that liveth forever and ever. Thankfulness is tied to honor and respect. And hopefully one day we can be around the throne doing the same thing. Before we close, what are some barriers? I don't know why the nine kept walking. I don't know. We're not told. I don't know if they were so, they're looking at their skin and they're so consumed with that they just kept walking. I don't know. I don't know if they were selfish. I don't know what was on their mind. But I know there's some things in God's Word that tell us that can be barriers. And one of them is just simple thoughtlessness, where we don't stop and consider. Remember, He saw that He was healed and He turned around. That's more than just the average person. Turn with me to Psalm 103. Each day that we get up, when we see the things around us, see them with the eye of gratitude, and don't ever be someone who forgets the benefits of God. Bless Jehovah, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Thoughtlessness, where we just forget what God gives us. If I just forget what God gave me on the cross, my attendance might be bad. If I just forget what God did in giving me this earth, Genesis 1 and 1, and all the beautiful things of this earth, and then Jesus Christ, then I might not read my Bible and pray. So I have to get up each day and always remember and be thoughtful of what God gives us. Thoughtlessness will be a barrier to gratitude. A second thing is worldliness. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. The more of the world that I have in me and the less of God, the more ungrateful I am. Paul talks about the Gentile world of his day. They didn't want to have God in their lives. And God gives them up to all these worldly kinds of things. And notice in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, they didn't want to have God in their life because that knowing God, they glorified Him not as God, neither gave thanks. I don't want God in my life. I'm not going to thank Him for anything. I don't want Him in my life. And the rest of the chapter is a very dark picture. Homosexuality is in here. Verse 26 and 27. A very dark picture. Worldliness. Getting God out of my life and I want to walk by my own human reasoning. That is a big barrier to being thankful. We'll look at 2 Timothy 3 in just a minute. Discontent. Not being happy with what we have and what we get in life. That can be a barrier to thankfulness. And that's why Paul said, I am content in all things. And Hebrews 13 verses 5 and 6, be free of the love of money. Be content with what God gives you. And we'll be a thankful person. And then turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Selfishness is a big barrier to thankfulness. I believe we live in a very selfish country, very selfish climate. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. When it's about me, then I'm not going to go back to the person and say thank you to them. Raise our children to be unselfish, and they will be thankful and grateful people. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, this grievous times that are coming, verse 2, men shall be lovers of self. That's at the very top of the list. Lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, haughty, railers, disobedient to parents, and then what? Unthankful. See how it goes together? Raise a selfish person, you're going to raise an ungrateful person. And they're not going to want to have God in their lives. So as we close this morning, where are the nine? Well, sadly, they're everywhere. And you've seen them. They're everywhere. And they don't have to be dressed in black and burning down buildings. But they're ungrateful. And their lives are messed up and they're messing up the lives around them. Let's not be among that group. Let's be the one who is thankful and coming to Jesus. And maybe you need to do that this morning. Maybe you need to show your thankfulness this morning for what Jesus did on the cross by just simply coming and being baptized. Maybe you need to come back to the Lord and be more faithful. One solution to a lack of faithfulness is to be more thankful. Well, how can I be more pure? Be more thankful. How can I be a better steward or be more attractive? Be more thankful. And you'll see the changes that are made in our lives. The psalmist says, it is good to thank the Lord. And it's because our soul's salvation depends upon it. Let's be like the one who comes back. Where are the nine? Well, we know they're everywhere out in society. But let it not be among us this morning. And if you want to come and show your thankfulness to the Lord, you can do that in just a moment. We're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement. We would encourage you to do that. We're not looking for just once a year, but every day that we get up, we show our thankfulness to the Lord. It's only a step. That's all you have to take. And come and show your thankfulness this morning. If we can help you to do that, why won't you stand as we stand and sing?